Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by author James T. Deshaies. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is James Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I'm just so glad to be here this evening. I was absent on Thursday, and I want to ask for your forgiveness, but I'm back with you today, and we got some hot things to talk about. I want to kind of tone down my reaction or my thoughts related to these stories. And I want to give you the opportunity to voice your opinions. And I hope you are out there so that you can just give me a sense of your outrage instead of the outrage that I have within me. It's often that when I select these stories that I get emotionally connected to them, and I try to bring the stories to you that just impact me in such an emotional way in hopes that you have a sense of the outrage that I sometimes feel. And so that these three stories are no different. In fact, I hope that we have such a spiritual conversation that we're not able to get through all three of these stories, because each one of these stories really deserve an hour by themselves. Each one of them shows the depth of inhumanity that exists in our country and the racial divide, because there are people who just don't get it. And often I spend a lot of time talking about white America and white privilege. And these stories just suggest that we have a long way to go to become one race. And we mean that you have a lot of people talking about we all should be a part of the human race. But when there is such division between us and there's such outrageous acts of barbarism, African Americans, it's just difficult not to see anything, to see these things, not to see these things through a racial perspective. And so we're asking, and I want white America to be a part of my show so that they can give me a sense of what their outrage is and whether or not they would also seek to minimize these situations in such a way that they want us to dismiss them as well, because none of these stories can be dismissed. They have to be dealt with openly so that everyone has an understanding of the pain that's created by not dealing with these things in an open manner. So I'm just asking you all to deal with these stories and talk to me and let me know what it is that you're thinking and what do you think the solution is, or how do we go about solving it. And I want you to really, those of you who are listening, to act or talk about these stories as though you were personally involved We need you to feel like you are personally involved in each one of these stories. And how would you react to the situation if these individuals were your children? These were your nieces or nephews. These were your grandchildren. Okay? Your friends, your neighbors. That there was just an emotional connection. You had an emotional connection with these people and what they went through at this specific time. The first story I want to talk to you about is about a 12-year-old girl. Her mother is truly committed to giving her the best opportunity possible. So this is not one of those situations where you have a child growing up in an environment where education is not important. This is a situation where the mama clearly knows how important education is, and she's willing to commit herself beyond the norm to find opportunities for her daughter. Her daughter is 12 years of age, and she has left the public school system and gone to a private school where she's gotten a scholarship, and her mother has also had to take out a loan for her to be at this prestigious private school in Waco, Texas. So we do realize that there's some issues that go on in Texas, that there is still a deep division in terms of race relations in Texas. And this story goes to prove how deep and poor the situation is. This 12-year-old was given an opportunity to go on an overnight field trip, and one in which her mother surely believed would be educational opportunity for her daughter. And so she put her daughter in the hands of the chaperones and school administrators for her daughter to go on this overnight trip. At some point during the trip, her daughter had a rope put around her neck, and she was strangled at the point that the rope burns went completely around her neck and created blood coming from the burns deep enough in her neck that it created scabs while it was healing. At the time that this happened, none of these chaperones or adults on the trip thought this was necessary to contact this mother. This mother did not find out about what happened to her daughter until her daughter returned the next day, and she seen this rope burn around her daughter's neck. Nobody at the time came up to her and explained to her what had happened or what was wrong. She immediately took her daughter to the hospital and called the police, and nobody sought to give any explanation. The first time anybody contacted her was by phone to ask how her daughter was doing. There happened to be a doctor on the trip to give some type of medication or try to adjust the wound that was around this girl's neck. Now, I want to ask you guys, what in the world do you think is going on that you can take a person's 12-year-old daughter on a field trip and she receives rope burns around her neck and nobody calls the parents? And those rope burns are deep enough to cause blood to come, and nobody seeks to talk to the parents when the child is returned to the school. I want you to know that I spent nearly 15 years working at Valencia Community College is a college reach out coordinator. And nothing like this ever happened on my trip. And there were times when I still had to call parents and tell them what took place. So I'd like to get your feeling and thoughts in regards to a girl, an African-American female, receiving rope burns around her neck completely, not just in front, but all the way around, suggesting that the rope was pulled tightly and rotated in a fashion to remove the skin around this girl's neck. I want to know what you think, and how do you think we should feel, or a parent would feel, when she arrives to pick up her child with no idea that this is taking place. I see we have a caller, 1958. Caller 1958, tell us where you're from, and what do you think your response would be to picking up your child or your niece and seeing her neck like that?
I would be completely outraged, number one. And number two, I would own that school, the district, and everything in it. That is totally unacceptable.
And just to know that they wouldn't even call, you would not even call a parent beforehand to give her a heads up, that they would thought that it was insignificant.
Clearly, there's a problem with the school administrators, school officials, that they would have such policy wherein a parent, under those circumstances, would not be notified that their child was involved in some type of incident, whether or not the officials were made aware of it. Now, it could have been something that the children did, when the chaperones are unaware. Of course, we know that that happens with age group, 12 teenagers, well, 12-year-olds. The kids are left alone, maybe for a short period of time. But nonetheless, once the discovery was made, I'm sure that the child, there was some type of outcry. This is, I'm finding this unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
Well,
I hadn't heard of the incident, but I am finding it totally unbelievable that this could happen. This child could endure some type of strangulation or hanging or attempt hanging and not have it come to the attention of any of those chaperones up until the point that she arrived back home and her mother had to discover that. I'm baffled.
Well, I tell you, if you Google a 12-year-old child strangled and receiving rope burns, when you see these rope burns, they are very deep. And after some time had elapsed, they were so deep that they literally had scabs around them. So there was a point at which blood literally was drawn because of how tightly this rope was around this young lady's neck. And they thought it was sufficient just because one of the chaperones was a doctor. They literally kept it quiet and administered medication. Again, though, never reached out to the parent. Didn't come to the parent at the time she picked the child up. That she just blindly walks up to her child and see these rope burns around her neck, and they were around her neck completely. And this is a private school where you would think, after committing herself to getting the money for her child to go to that school, that she would be protected a little better than that. And now they're complaining and saying that the mother is calling it a race issue. But I just don't believe that a white parent would not have been contacted. I don't believe a white parent would have not been walked up to and talked to about what took place in that situation. I just don't believe that. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry. Say that again about the white parent.
I was just wondering if you thought a white parent, if they would have handled a white parent in the same fashion by not contacting her about what happened or coming to her immediately after the child got off the bus to talk about what happened.
Oh, absolutely not. That's unthinkable. Number one, they would have called the parent the moment they'd made the discovery while, you know, away on the field trip. And probably the parent and everybody else would have showed up with the media, and it would have been a really big ruckus. But no, they would not have waited. They would have contacted the parent. In fact, if it was close enough, I'm sure the parents would have responded, as I'm sure this parent would have responded to wherever they were if it was, you know, within close proximity where she could respond, and probably even if she was out of state somewhere. I'm not sure where the field trip was in relationship to where the school is located, but no, it would not have happened. They would have called and contacted the white parents right away, and police and everybody else, and something would have been done immediately. This would not have had happened had it been a white parent. Clearly, based on the information that I have heard from you, I have not read the article, don't know the follow-up. I feel it's a racist action and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Without a doubt. Thank you so much for calling in. Let me go to a few of the other callers and get their thoughts. 5542, are you out there? Give me your name and where you're calling from. 5542. Okay, 9454, are you there? Give us your name and where you're calling from. 9454. All right, we have a few people who maybe just want to hear. But I'm just saying to you, and this parent went to the degree, asked if she could be a chaperone, and was told that she could not be a chaperone. And there had been some issues that the parent had brought to the forefront regarding her daughter being bullied. So here we have a situation where there were some incidents prior to this incident that the parent had brought to the attention of the administration that her daughter was being treated unfairly. So there had already been some patterns of mistreatment. And here you have a situation where this parent is doing all that she possibly can to get her daughter the type of education that is going to be a positive benefit to her child in the future, and yet is subjected to some physical things happening to her child that are unacceptable, and she's not being properly protected or overseen. And it just happens to be what happens night after, you know, day after day after day. We're subject with these type of stories. I brought to you a story recently where a white parent was arrested because to drive a golf cart. And I told you that I thought it was outrageous that she would have been arrested for something as minor as that. But that made the national news. And I'm sitting here saying to you, this young lady gets a rope wrapped around her neck to the degree that the rope burns her completely around her neck, and the parents are not contacted, and the parent does not know anything about it until she sees her child after she gets off the bus. And nobody addresses the situation. And this will not reach the national news. And that's what I'm saying to you. Day after day after day, horrific things happen to African Americans and minorities, and it's swept under the rug and never sees the light of the national news. And we have to become outraged and try to get white America to understand that these types of behaviors cannot be tolerated. We cannot allow our children to to be abused in this fashion without someone paying a price. Our children cannot have to face this kind of behavior when they are just trying to be educated. And I'm saying to you that we have to take a stance. We have to make sure people understand that we're watching and we're going to speak out. Whenever given an opportunity, we're going to speak out and let our voices be heard in regards to our children and our people and our race and the direction that our country is going in. We cannot allow this continue to happen. Our children cannot be abused in this fashion. And I wanted to bring this story to your attention because I wanted to hear how outraged you'd feel if this was your child, your niece, your nephew, your neighbor, because it's happening too much and too often. And we'll continue. There's another story even more horrific than this one, and it suggests that we at some point have to have a way of letting people know that we cannot tolerate. These are babies. These are the future of our country. And we can't allow them to be handled in this fashion. We have to step up and make sure that we do whatever is necessary to defend them. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, talk about another story that is just as horrific. But I just want to share with you again, I have a young lady I want to highlight who was one of my students. I taught for 30 years in Orange County Public Schools, and it's just important to me and just does my heart so well when I see my students, our former students, out there making things happen. This is Jillian Johnson, who was one of my math students, who's now running a company called J Star Taxes and Bookkeeping Services, LLC. And it's in Orlando, Florida, 927 South Goldwyn Avenue, Suite 122. The number is 407-674-7353. And you can find her on www.jstartax.com. On gmail.com. And I just want to say, Jillian, great job on starting your own business and being in charge of your own direction. Continue to work hard. And guys, I believe you. She was a great student in my class. And I know that she'll work hard for you if you allow her to provide her services to you. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back to discuss another story that is just as horrific as the story we just shared. And these are the kinds of stories we need to get together on and recognize that we have to use my show as a vehicle to show that we will not tolerate that our people, our children, our friends, our families be treated in this fashion. So we'll be back with you shortly to continue the mistreatment of African Americans.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Love I will always keep. In life, we come to love many things over the course of a lifetime, many of which don't make it to that unforgettable place within our spirit. We are subject to many truly stimulating experiences throughout the journey of our individual lives, but those experiences don't become reoccurring daily moments. You, on the other hand, have stolen a place in my heart that will never be relinquished to another. I find myself unable to confine my thoughts to you, to my past. I am destined to take you and the love we have shared with me on an unbounded journey of life, while never spending a moment not treasuring the love we've shared.
All right, thank you for staying with me and coming back, allowing me the opportunity to share this other story with you. We have a 24-year-old named Jermichael Mitchell. This young man had a lot of issues in his life. He was mentally disabled and really just could not function on a high level. He was arrested after stealing a bottle of soda, a candy bar, and a snack cake. They came to $5.05. He stole, in total, $5.05 at the age of 24 years old. So clearly, those people who arrived on scene at the time he had stole and shoplifted this merchandise, the police and the store owner were aware that he was not in his right mind or was not on the level of a 24-year-old. When they took it to court, he was deemed incapable of understanding what he was going through. It was determined that he needed to go to a medical hospital, but it never happened. This man, at the time he entered the jail, weighed 198 pounds. He was literally starved to death in his jail cell, and at his death, only weighed 144 pounds. It was determined that he was so starved that if caught in time, it would not have been sufficient enough just to give him food. And those who were he was in the care of stated that it was his fault because he refused to eat. He was left in a jail cell where he was not given clothes, no blanket. He was forced to sleep on the concrete floor. Where is the humanity that a person who steals $5.05 worth of merchandise is given the death penalty by the jail officials and the correctional officers who refuse to give the least intervention on this young man's behalf, to do something as simple as be humane and recognize that if this young man is refusing to eat, that there needs to be some intervention done to make sure that he does not die. But yet they sat and watched him slowly die of starvation. And no one wants to be held accountable. That those who were there, the medical individuals, the nurses, the doctors who brought around medication, sat and watched this young man literally starve to death. They refused to give him food because of the way his cell was kept, but yet they did not try to intervene or get this man to a medical hospital so that he could be dealt with appropriately. And these are the kinds of things that African Americans are subject to, and no one wants to be held accountable or refuse to hold them accountable. That their thought is, well, he refused to eat. We already know that anybody who refuses to eat is not in their right mind. So do you just let them kill themselves? Is that the normal behavior that we can expect from correction officers, administrators, and health officials who saw this young man go from 198 pounds down to 144 pounds? What in the world are we doing? We have people going into jail with nonviolent offenses and who are dying at the hands of the correction officers, and we don't hold them accountable? Is white America gotten to the point that they are just unable to see the horrific things that are happening to those of the minority class and refuse to intervene and require more and better treatment of everyone that's involved? Everyone who goes to jail should have the right to be in the proper place. If a judge has already determined that jail is not the proper place, then the transfer needed to be made. And to keep him in that environment to the point that he dies is just unacceptable, cruel, and inhumane. What kind of people do we have running our jails? This is the kind of thing that they're willing to do and look the other way while the other humans who nonviolent crimes are treated in this fashion. I truly would like to know what your thoughts are in regards to this. These are the things that we need to be addressing, because we cannot suggest that we're in the right place in America when this kind of thing is happening day in and day out. These are not hard stories to find. They're literally all over America with the same outcome. There's nothing special about what is happening to inmates in Virginia. These same things are happening throughout our whole entire country, and at some point, we need to take a stand. And it starts with making sure our voice is heard every time we hear one of these issues, and we support the groups that are out there on the front lines fighting the war that needs to be fought in order that this does not get swept under the rug. And I'm asking those of you who are out there listening, we have to make a statement. We have to say what it is we're feeling and make sure we say it in a way that people understand us loud and clear, that this is not something, this is not a behavior we're going to let just go away. That just allow these people to continue to work and earn our pensions, earn our tax money, and they treat us in this fashion. 1958, are you still out there?
Hey, yeah, we're still here. How you doing?
Hi. I just want to ask you, can you believe that people, humane people, sat and watched an inmate go from 198 pounds to 144 pounds and not intervene on his behalf when his offense was he stole $5.50 worth of snacks at 24 years old?
Yes, I could believe it.
What's happening to us? Where is the humanity in our country when we don't feel the pain of those who are right there in front of us?
Well, first of all, we have to start banding together as a race. When we say we want to see something happen, then we have to start showing the people that, hey, we're not going to tolerate this particular thing anymore, but we can't do that. You know, there'll be three or four people say, okay, let's not buy gas on this day. And then there'll be people up in the gas station buying gas. So until we as a race learn to band together concerning these issues, then it's going to always be like that. They're going to always treat us like that. They don't care. because they say we don't care about ourselves, about our own people. So why should they care?
It is just unimaginable that we are in 2016 and you sit and watch someone. You know that he can't be in his right mind if he's refusing to eat day after day after day. And you recognize, and you got people, medical people who go by and look at him and recognize what situation he is in and not do anything to intervene. It's just hard for me to believe that they could go home and go to sleep and rest and come back the next day and see this young man in this fashion.
Well, let me tell you, I used to work in the jail, so I know that happens where they will band together. If a person come in there acting different, I'm going to say different, I'm not going to say crazy, they will band together and they will let that person miss lunch, breakfast. They won't get any any type of shelter, any water, or anything. So it does happen. I've seen it with my own eyes.
It's just a sad state of affairs that we treat each other in that fashion. And I mean, they literally would not even give him clothes. He had to lay on the concrete floor or concrete slab with nothing to cover him up. And that's just sick. I mean, to allow another human being to live like that. And again, he shoplifted a soda and some candy and a cake. And that's how you're going to treat him? Yeah, there's something wrong with America. And there's something wrong with white America that we continue to let these things happen and nobody's stepping up. And then they want to get upset when people take out a lawsuit and they take away millions and millions of dollars out of the money they're supposed to use to help the community, but it's only that this money is being given to families that have been subjected to this kind of behavior.
Yeah, that's really sad, James. And again, we got to figure out how we can band together as a people to stop these issues because, like you said, about the young girl, the 12-year-old girl, and then here we go with this incident in the jails, and then it's something else, and these are only some of the things that we hear about. We don't hear about everything.
You're so right. You're so right. It's a terrible situation. Let me go to a few of these other callers and see if they have anything to say. And thank you so much for calling in and giving us your opinion. All right, we're going to go back and see if some of the other callers want to chime in on this particular story and tell us what they think. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be willing and prepared to allow our voices to be heard. And we cannot continue to be victimized. We're not asking these people to give this man a steak and potatoes every day. We're not asking them to give him better treatment than they give others. We're just asking that when we find ourselves in this situation, that we're treated in a humane fashion. So I'm just asking you to speak out and give me your opinion of what it is you feel about these stories and the treatment that minorities find themselves under. 9454, are you out there? Would you like to give us your name and where you're calling from? And let us know what you think about this particular situation. 9454, are you there? All right, we're going to continue. And I just want to say to you guys, when I bring these stories to your attention, I'm bringing it to your attention because I think these are the kinds of stories that give us a clear indication that we have a long way to go when it comes to racial harmony, that we can't allow ourselves to get to the point where we have people in our jails and in our school systems that cannot allow themselves to feel the pain of minority students. These are two cases where two minority individuals were treated in such an inhumane fashion that they were both victims of disregard. They were both seen not to be valued enough to be given what we would call normal responses. And there has to be some point at which we refuse to allow our society to go backwards. And this is clearly what is happening right now. We're allowing our society to go backwards in a way that is treating one race of people in a different fashion than another. Both of these stories deserve to have been on the front page of our news, because it needed to be right in front of the face of white America so that it could deal with the issues of inhumane treatment to minorities and understand that we have to make a difference by allowing our voices to be heard and supporting those organizations who are out there on the front lines fighting the fight to make sure that those elected officials are aware that we're not going to keep tolerating our children being treated this way. And that there are going to be some people put out of work who are not going to receive their pensions if they continue to do this. And we have to speak up with a voice so loud and clear that everyone is fully aware of what we're thinking and knowing that it is not going to be tolerated. We're going to take another short break, and we're going to be right back to end the show and just let you know these are the kinds of things that we have to address on a regular basis so that we make sure that those in power know that they will not be reelected if they don't step in and say something or do something about our children being treated in this fashion. Another short break, and we'll be right back with you.
A better network, as explained by an abnormally large basketball hoop.
When a wireless network has bigger capacity, more data gets through more quickly. Score. Better matters. Verizon.
You use Tide Pods?
Yeah.
But I thought you were the queen of the pre-treat soak, treat soak.
Those are fond memories, but those things are amazing. Once I saw what they did, I actually started to relax. Don't touch my things. Those little guys clean, brighten, and fight stains. So now I can focus on more pressing matters.
Like your container.
Isn't it beautiful?
Your sweet peppers aren't next to your hot peppers.
That's my Tide. What's yours?
Want to relax? Check out Chill Out Jazz on FBRN.us every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 to 5 Central Time. It's Chill Out Jazz, the soulful mix of smooth jazz. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 5 Central Time, right here on FBRN. I've got the perfect mix to help you chill out jazz. It's the coolest 2 hours of your day. Jump in smoothly.
All right. Again, guys, I just have to tell you, When I have a student of mine who I find doing great things, I just have to give myself an opportunity to give them a shout out and support them any way that I possibly can. So, again, I want to just say to Jillian Johnson, I am so proud of you, and I just look forward to your business growing and you being a force and a leader in our community. Jillian has started a new business called J Stars Taxes and Bookkeeping Service, LLC. She's at 927 South Goldwyn Avenue, Suite 122, Orlando, Florida, 32805. Her number is 407-674-7353. And you can get her on, you can email her at jstartax@gmail.com. jstartax@gmail.com. And I just want to give her a shout out and give her my support and ask you to give her your service, your business. If you find yourself needing tax services or some bookkeeping done, please give Jillian a call and let her know that James C. Deshay gave her a shout-out on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. And this is what we are about. Here on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, we want to share things and give people shout-outs who deserve them, and we want to bring attention to stories that need attention told about what's going on in our country. We're at a very, very, very sad point in our country right now. And we need to speak up and speak out loudly and clearly in regards to the things that are going on in our world. And we need to make sure that we keep our eyes open. There's no time for us to be sitting on the sidelines and what I call fat catting it and not paying attention to what's going on. We elect people to office, and we want to make sure that they are paying attention to the issues that are impacting us. And when I mean us, I mean those of us who are taxpayers, hardworking individuals. It doesn't matter what your race is. We need elected officials out there paying attention to what's happening to our world and getting off their behinds and doing and making some of the tough decisions and recognizing that we're not going to tolerate the mistreatment of any race of people, any gender of people in the United States. We have to stand up for everyone when things are not being done in a fair way. And we got the right to disagree. And if you don't agree with everything that I say, I'm more than willing to give you the opportunity to share your voice on my show and let me know where you might think that I'm wrong. But I want to just say to you that if we're going to be a part of the human race, we need to be in a position where we treat everyone fairly. We need to be in a position where we stop seeing color. But I can let you know this, that African Americans and Latinos and women clearly understand when they're being mistreated. We're not in the dark about that. When we read a story and see and recognize that everyone wouldn't have been treated in that fashion, clear to us what's going on. And we need white America to hear our voices to let them know that we're not going to allow them to just sweep things under the rug when they're wrong. And we have the right to do that because we're taxpayers. We have the right to do that because we are Americans. And we have to make sure that people recognize that we're not just going to go let things go along quietly without us bringing the issues to the forefront. And there are going to be some things that we disagree about, but there's going to be things that we just plain old are not going to tolerate. And we're going to discuss those issues on every vehicle that is available. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is a vehicle that you can use to make sure that your thoughts are heard loud and clearly, and you're given the opportunity to voice your opinion in a fashion that you're not going to be obstructed. We're not going to turn your mic off when you might be saying something that don't agree with us. This is a place where you can feel free to share your opinion and your thoughts, and we'll have a respectable conversation on every issue, and we just want to be 100 about it. We're going to be real about it. I'm asking you to visit my new website called jamestdeshay.com. That's jamestdeshay.com. I'd like you to go to my new website. Tell me what you think. Look around. Click on everything. And let me know what it is you're feeling. My email address is djames82@aol.com. I'd like for you to write to me. Let me know what you think. Let me know what subjects you'd like me to talk about or like me to bring up on the radio show. We're here for you. We're here to allow you to have a voice, your voice heard throughout America, throughout the United States. We want people to be able to listen to what it is you're thinking and what it is you're feeling about what is going on in our society. Again, we don't have it. We don't have the time or ability to sit back and fat cat and act like we don't see some issues and problems happening around in our society. I want you to feel free to call into my show anytime. We're here 3 days a week now, Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Thursdays at 6 p.m., and Saturday at 8 p.m. And we are here in order to allow your voice to be heard about the issues that are impacting our society. We want you to have an easy path to a vehicle that will let your voice be heard. Too often we hear what America is thinking, and we're wondering, what America are they talking about? Ain't nobody called me and asked my opinion. Well, right now you can call in to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection and make sure your opinion is heard 3 times a week. And I want you to feel free to call me at 407-394-9819 and let me know what you want to talk about. If there's an issue out there that I haven't heard about, if there's an issue out there that is personal to you, give me a call so that I can give you the vehicle that will allow your voice to be heard across our nation and around the world. This is what this show is about. That is what Never Had It So Good Sports Network is about, is giving them people an opportunity for their voices to be heard without interference. There is nobody to interfere with what you're thinking and what you're saying, and you're given a clear opportunity to let your voice be heard without there being a board sitting back and evaluating whether or not you're going to have the ability to come online. We want you to always be respectful and understand that everyone has a right to their opinion, but as long as you're respectful and you just give everybody the right to have their voice to be heard, you have a place, Love and Reflection. We're here for you to make sure that when you want America to know what you're thinking, that this is a show that will allow you to have that opportunity. And we're going to continue to do that day in and day out. So always remember that you can call into Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, so that your voice can be heard when there's an issue to be talked about. And again, remember, we're here 3 times a week, Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, Thursdays at 6 o'clock, and Saturday at 8 p.m. We want you to use our show to make your voices heard throughout the country. This is James Deshay, your host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Allow us to work for you. Take care, and I'll see you on Tuesday.
Tune in each week to Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, hosted by Author James T. Deshay. Tune in and dial in Tuesday, 6 p.m., 657-383-0309, Thursday, 6 p.m., 347-855-8867, and Saturdays, 8 p.m., 657-383-0309, all times Eastern. James is the author of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and also Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. We talk about everything that's happening in our world, anything that impacts the lives of our listeners. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, email us at djames82@aol.com or call 407-394-9819 for more information. That's Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, heard here on your favorite radio station, Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network.